Good morning. Let's try that one more time. Good morning. Welcome to Trinity United Methodist Church. We're blessed and so grateful that you have chosen to worship our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ with us here this morning. As we begin this time of praise and worship, would you please stand and bow your heads and your hearts, and may we open up with a time and a word of prayer. Let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you, Lord, for your mercy. We thank you for the privilege, the opportunity, and the honor that you have given to us to praise you, to worship you, to glorify your holy name. Lord Jesus, we commit this service into your care, and we pray that you would send your Holy Spirit to quicken our hearts and open our minds that we might truly be changed, that you would be worshiped, you would be glorified, and above all, your kingdom would be expanded. We love you, O Christ. We commit this time into your care. In the holy name of Jesus, our risen Savior, we do pray, and all God's people said, amen.
So good to be in the house of the Lord today. Amen. Wow, you're really awake today. Amen. As we get ready to praise our Lord, let's turn to our neighbor and say, I'm following Jesus.
Anywhere with Jesus, I can safely go. Anywhere he leads me in this world below. Anywhere without him, there are stories within.
So good to be in the house of the Lord. Let's give another hand clap of praise. We'll bow our heads, please. Heavenly Father, we come before you, Lord. We do thank you for allowing us to have the life you've given us, Lord, to allow us to follow you anywhere that you will go, Lord. Allow us to learn to lean on you, Lord, and to allow you to direct our life. And allow us to follow you, even when we are afraid and we don't know what the future may hold. We know that you hold the future, Father. So let us follow you in all things. We give you praise, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Where you go, I'll go. Where you stay, I'll stay. When you move, I'll move. I will follow. All your ways are good. All your ways are sure. I will trust in you. Oh,
Heavenly Father, we do thank you for that opportunity to follow you. Lord, sometimes it's a choice that we make to follow you, Lord. Allow us to make that choice because we do need to follow you, for you know all things and you hold our future in your hands. Lord, allow us to follow you through all things and have the faith knowing that you're taking care of everything. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
To follow Jesus, I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided
behind me, the cross before me.
world behind me. The cross before me. The world behind me. The cross before me. The world behind me. The cross before me. No turning back, no turning back. I've decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back.
So we bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for that opportunity to be able to follow you, Lord. Allow us to step out in faith. Allow us not to be afraid. Allow us to make that choice daily in our lives. Let us not lean on our own understanding, but on your understanding, Lord. We thank you for all you've done and all you will do, Lord. Please continue to bless this church, the pastor, and all that are here. And those that are sick, Father, be with them, Lord. And those that are lost, let them find you and bring them here. Lord, we thank you for everything. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. This morning, before we continue this time of worship, we just want to highlight a couple brief announcements. I'm going to have Greg come forward here, and as he's coming forward, just in your bulletin, you'll notice a bulletin insert, and we are selling lilies, celebrating the Easter season, and so if you would like to, in honor or in memory of someone, you know, purchase a lily and then take that after Easter Sunday worship, which is in 2 weeks, friends, please fill that out. Put that in the offering plate, and then we will get that on order for you. So, Greg, why don't you share with us what you have?
Yeah, so... Good? Yes, we are. Anyway, in your bulletin, you have these invite cards. And what we're doing special this Easter is we're specifically inviting people that we know are not involved in other churches. There's a trend in the Church of America where people tend to just bounce around churches as opposed to getting new professions of faith. We tend to just get people that come from faith to Trinity, stuff like that. And that's cool, and we want that, but at the same time, we want growth. We want new Christians. We want new people that are willing to seek God. So, it would be awesome if you guys could hand these cards out to people that you know who are not involved currently in a church. The Monday following Easter service, we are starting a class. It's going to cover the basic beliefs of Christianity, the deity of Christ. We're going to go over the Trinity for anyone possibly confused about the Trinity because it's a complex subject. The entire church is invited to that. It's going to be a fun time. And at the same time, we want to get those new people that we get into here during the Easter service into that class. So pass these cards out. I'll be extremely happy if you do. And thank you.
Cool. Thank you, Greg. As Greg was mentioning, we here at Trinity, we want to make this a reaching out into the community. And I'm going to ask Julie to come forward, and she's going to share with us here this morning of an opportunity that we have not only today, yesterday, this coming Saturday. So Julie, why don't you share what's going to be happening?
All right, so we have our Easter egg hunt every year, and every year, you can't do that. Last year I think we had 166 kids. So we're reaching the community. The community's involved not even just in reaching the kids, the local businesses. I'm always amazed at the door prizes they donate, even in Fremont. And that's another opportunity where that's contact made from our church, reaching out, involving kids. And so how you can help. I know, I'm sure as you walked in, you saw all the eggs and the candy. We are planning on stuffing 200 bags after service. And Greg, you'll be happy to know that card is going in every single one of those bags. And then we're also giving information about VBS. So not only are they getting candy, even if they choose not to listen, they get the we do resurrection eggs, so they get the resurrection story, and so they're getting many different ways. They get to take it with them.
Yeah,
he agrees. So he's pretty excited. This is his first one. So he's been seeing mommy planning. So how you can help. If you haven't brought candy, yes, that looks like a lot of candy, but 166 kids, the Windsor Lane stuffs eggs. Last year we had 5,000 eggs. They're picked up in 5 minutes. So if you haven't brought candy and you're thinking, oh, they don't need any candy, you are welcome to still, we will take all the candy that you want to bring, because the one whole table goes all in the bags, because that way we make sure every child gets candy. And then so you can stuff afterwards. We have sandwiches, chips, and drinks. If you're hungry, if that's your excuse, I have to go eat lunch. Don't worry, I have it covered. There's food. So that's not an excuse. Even if you just stay 10 minutes, if you stay 10 minutes and you stuff 20 eggs, that's 20 less eggs. Like I said, we stuff thousands of eggs. So just 20 minutes, and you can help donating candy. Next Saturday, we now have to hide those thousands of eggs. Now, I promise it's not hard. It's in Williams Park. There's not a lot of hiding spots. So if you can walk and drop an egg, and walk and drop an egg, you are qualified to help us hide. So if you show up at noon, if you hide 100 eggs, I will be happy. This doesn't take a lot of qualifications. And by doing just 10 minutes, if you pick one of those three things, if you donate candy, if you spend 10 minutes stuffing eggs, if you even just come and hide eggs for 10 minutes, you have helped reach 166 kids. And we don't know how many of those kids are unchurched or won't hear the salvation message, or who will get a VBS flyer and decide to come to VBS for the first time. Or their parents will see the postcard and come to Easter services and realize that we're out there, that we care. And we've had comments about knowing that our church is out there, that we do care. You know, some of these kids, they don't get shown that they care necessarily in their home life. So they come, and they come in droves. Even if you just want to come watch, it's a magnificent thing. Literally, they come like within like 5 minutes. You just see swarms of people showing up. And we get them, they pick up the eggs in about 5 or 10 minutes. We do the Easter story. It's about a half an hour event after all the prep work. So I'm happy if you would just help for 10 or 20 minutes. It's 10 minutes less that I have to stay here and stuff 100 more eggs. Please, please, please don't make me do them all by myself. And Joanna.
All right. Okay, thank you, Julie. And as she mentioned, there are three different ways you can be involved. You can help stuff eggs after service. You can bring candy. And then next Saturday at noon, you can meet at Williams Park, and you can, you know, hide the eggs over there as well. And so that's just one of the many ways, friends, we at Trinity here are reaching out into the community with the gospel of Jesus Christ, because it's a wonderful thing to share our faith in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. At this time, Children's Church is now dismissed, and may we all turn our attention to the hearing and the reading of God's Word.
Today's reading will be found in the book of Luke. We're in chapter 9, verses 27 through 36, on page 1609 of the Pew Bibles, if you care to read along with us. I tell you the truth, some who are standing here will not taste death before they see the kingdom of God. About 8 days after Jesus said this, he took Peter and John and James with him, and he went up into the mountain to pray. As he was praying, the appearance of his face changed, and his clothes became as bright as a flash of lightning. Two men, Moses and Elijah, appeared in glorious splendor, talking with Jesus. They spoke about his departure, which he was about to bring to fulfillment at Jerusalem. Peter and his companions were very sleepy, but when they became fully awake, they saw his glory and the two men standing with him. As the men were leaving, Jesus, Peter, said to him, "Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us put up three shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He did not know what he was saying. While he was speaking, a cloud appeared and enveloped them, and they were afraid as they entered the cloud. A voice came from the cloud saying, "This is my son, whom I have chosen. Listen to him." When the voice had spoken, they found that Jesus was alone, and the disciples kept this to themselves and told no one at the time what they had seen. This is the word of God for the people of God. May we all be blessed in its reading. If the ushers will now come forward for our tithes and offerings.
This is the air I breathe. This is the air I breathe.
Thank you for all the many blessings that you so graciously grant unto us each and every day. As part of those blessings, Father, we placed on your altar this morning our gifts, our tithes, and our offerings, asking your blessing upon them. Bless them and multiply them in your service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. Things that I'll never forget about doing was with my parents, in the spring, and actually early summer, we would go out and we would look for monarch butterflies. And I don't know if you've ever done this, but you look for the caterpillars, and then you look for the milkweed, and then you get like a mason jar, and then you get a branch or something, and you put it in the jar, and you allow the caterpillar to have enough food to eat, and basically then you watch it make its chrysalis, and after a period of time, what happens? It goes through the process of metamorphosis, and then lo and behold, that caterpillar comes out a butterfly.
total change in its nature, a total change in what that caterpillar was. And this morning, we're going to look at the scripture, the text, in the book of Mark, the Gospel of Mark, chapter 9, verses 2 through 10. We've put that in your bulletin, so open up your bulletin to the far right, and we're going to read that. It's the same account that was read earlier, only what was read earlier was out of the Gospel of Luke. So let's read that. This comes on the heels of Peter's declaration of who Jesus is. If you remember with me, Jesus asked the disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" And then Peter, he is the one, after much, to do, that some say you're the prophet, some say you're Elijah, some say you're John the Baptist. And Peter gets up and he says, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And so this bold declaration of who Jesus is was made by Peter. But then don't forget what Jesus then said is then he gets up and he begins to instruct the disciples as to what would happen to the Son of Man. Him. That he would go to Jerusalem and he would suffer many things. And so the cross was in his sights at this time. The very crucifixion and the suffering, the flogging, the betrayal, it was all in his sights. And sometimes I think we look at this passage and it's known as the Transfiguration and we wonder, what on earth is that all about? Well, this morning I hope and I pray to illuminate that for us. Because in this very passage, I believe that God gives us a glimpse of what he wants to do in you and in me as he gave to the inner three, Peter, James, and John. He was showing them the glory that God wants to rest in you, in your heart, in your soul, and in your mind. And so let's look at the text. In verse 2, "And after 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John and led them up a high mountain apart by themselves. And he was transfigured before them." The original text, the word right there is metamorpho. And that's where we get the word metamorphosis from, meaning to change his nature. His very nature was changed right before their eyes. Garments became glistening, intensely white, as no fuller on earth could bleach them. There appeared to them Elijah with Moses, and they were talking to Jesus. And Peter said, "Master, well that we are here. Let us make 3 booths. One for you and one for Moses and one for Elijah." For he did not know what to say, for they were exceedingly afraid. And a cloud overshadowed them, and a voice came out of the cloud, "This is my beloved Son, listen to him." And suddenly, looking around, they no longer saw anyone with them but Jesus only. And as they were coming down the mountain, he charged them to tell no one what they had seen until and should have risen from the dead. So they kept them questioning what the rising from the dead meant. I believe it was St. Francis of Assisi, he stated the words of these. He said, "Preach the gospel at all times, and when necessary, use words." You see, I was thinking and pondering this, what a good life following Christ is. And I'll say that again. What a good life is to follow Christ. You don't have regret. You don't suffer from unforgiveness. You don't have a lack of hope. You don't suffer from having no peace in your soul. You have all those things if you are in Christ. And what better witness should we be than experiencing all of those things? We should not fear the impending wrath of God, for it is Christ who suffered that. We should accept the forgiveness that God has given to us. And have that peace in our soul. Radiating with glory, the glory that comes from on high. We should be radiating with the joy of knowing that we have been adopted as sons and daughters of God. Should we not be glowing? However you want to say it. Should we not have so much happiness and joy, no matter what the circumstances and situations of life that throw at us? Should we not experience this? We should. There should be no better witness than a follower of Christ, that is beaming, bubbling over, saying, it is well with my soul. Sometimes we emphasize, go and share, go and tell, go and do, go in here, go in there. What about me? What about be who God wants? A nature that God has given to you, and that's exactly what happens when we receive as our your old nature, and he has replaced it with his nature. Wrap your minds around that. You see, this original word, it's only used four times in the whole. It's used in the Gospel of Matthew in this very account. It's used right here in Mark chapter 9. It's used in Romans 12, verse 2, and 2 Corinthians 3, verse 18. And all three of them are talking about the individuals being changed. You see, we have been changed. In a few moments, we're going to partake in Holy Communion. We're going to celebrate the victory that God has given to me. In the same sad fact, he has changed your nature. And this should be our greatest witness to this world. And so what does this witnessing require? It requires requires that we follow Jesus. We could go to the first slide, please. And as we have been going through this series, we have been asking, what is next? And so when we sit here, when we listen, we're all going to ask ourselves, what's next? But witnessing requires us to follow Jesus. You see, Jesus commanded us in communion, you know, the sacrament, the bread and the cup. He said, come. That's an imperative. He didn't say, hey, if you want to do this, he said, no, do this at all times, as often as you meet. Remembrance of me. And we see Peter, James, and John, they're following Jesus. We can't. Sometimes I think we want to follow Jesus on our own terms, and we don't want to go where Jesus wants to take us. And because of that, we forfeit the joy, the happiness, the peace, the forgiveness, the stability, and the because we choose when we choose to follow Jesus. And it's not a lifestyle, it's an occasion in our lives. And we put Jesus in our life when it's comfortable for us and when it's convenient for us. Peter, James, and John, they left and they followed him. 6 days Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John and led them up to a high mountain apart by themselves. And here he was. His figure changed. The glory shone all. It wasn't just around him. It was his very nature that he was changed. Have you ever noticed throughout the whole scriptures that those people that come encountered with the living God, they are physically changed? Have you ever noticed that? Moses, he's up on the mountain. He meets God. His face is shining. Jacob wrestles with God, and he's walking with the limp today. I could go on. Abraham, God, and he. The sign of the covenant that's cut into his flesh. You see, we are changed, whether we know it or not, whether we like it or not. It's up to us whether or not we choose to follow Jesus. The second thing that we can see is witnessing requires us to listen to Jesus. We could just have a whole on right here and listen to this. And this is not Jesus that's commanding us. This is God the Father from the cloud. And if you look back to the Testament, the cloud signified the presence of the Almighty, the presence of God. And so we have the Heavenly Father, the God eternal, who descends on the mountain, and he commands, and he says, listen to my beloved Son. We live in a culture that doesn't want to listen to anybody. We live in a culture that doesn't want to take responsibility for anything. We live in a culture that it's everybody else's fault. We live in a culture that would revolt at this. And we also live in a culture that's suffering the consequences of not doing this, do we not? And then I think about the Christians, when I think about us that we are seeking to follow Christ, should we not have more of a blessed consequence in our life because we choose to do this? We should. We should. And it's a sin when we don't, because ultimately we want Jesus on our terms. We want Jesus the way that we want into our life. We want Jesus not on his terms. We want Jesus to change us the way that we want Jesus to do what we want him to do. And sometimes Jesus will take you to places where you sometimes he'll ask you to do things, and sometimes he'll ask you to give things that you don't want to give up. But I'm here to tell you the blessings are far beyond anything that you could ever imagine if you would only do this. Listen. Listen. Witnessing requires us to listen. You see, when we follow, we don't have to worry about saying anything. We don't have to worry about doing anything. Our very lives are the fragrant aroma of life to those who are perishing, is what the scriptures say. You see, it's our life that will share the love of God. It's your disposition, your nature that will share God's love when you follow and you listen. But we got to check our desire. A couple weeks ago, I was reading an article by the founder of Southeast Christian Church. Now, you have to understand, Southeast Christian Church is one of the largest churches in the country. They average anywhere from 20 to 25,000 people on any given Sunday. So, pastor who has since retired, he writes an article and he's answering this question about what parents should do and what to do when kids are sporting events and it conflicts. And basically, his answer is, go and be with your kids, but make sure that you put priority on what you grow up and to become. Like if you're on a traveling ball team, make sure when you're in that other that you afford time on Sunday morning or Saturday night to instill in your kids the importance of worship. And you visit a church. You see, it's not just going to church, it's about our desire. You see, the thing about that we are told that we must discern our desires here. Chapter 9, verse 5. And Peter said to Jesus, Master, it is well that we are here. Let us make three booths, one for you and one for Moses and one for Elijah. Peter, he wanted to stay there. See, the temptation for many Christians is to either not to be in church and think that they can compromise church, and in so doing, friends, we are compromising the transfiguration or the change in your heart and mind and soul. Don't miss that. Because if you're not here, if you're not worshiping, if you aren't connected, Romans 12:2, the one of the other three or four places that this word occurs in the New Testament, it says, do not be conformed. Do not be transfigured. Do not be changed into the pattern of this world. And so you omit worshiping God. You omit being around fellow brothers and sisters. You omit reading your Bible, and what's going to happen? You're more. And it's our desire. Our desire. And so you parents say, you know what? You don't have kids. No, I don't. But I get the desire. I get the desire. And for some of you older individuals here, before you get on these young folks with kids, benefit of the blue laws, did you not? You had society that was conforming you one way and only one way. You didn't have the pressure that is going on in this day and age. But for you parents, if I could be so bold, you need to decide, what is your desire for your child? And for some of us, exist only in God's presence and not to not go out like Peter. We've got. And so we have to discern our desires? What is it that we value? What is it that we want above anything else? What is it that we want to experience? And here's what I want to experience. I want to experience the new nature that God has for me. That's what I want to experience. Because there is nothing like it. There never will be, and there never was. There is nothing like experiencing the new nature. That veil that was peeled back when Jesus was transfigured, it was a foretaste, a foreshadowing of what he was going to do in a spiritual manner for you and for me. It's the glorification of what's coming your way. But you have to choose what is yours. We also need to determine our motive. What's motivating us to do what we do? Verse 6 of chapter 9. For he did not know what to say, for they were exceedingly afraid. Sometimes we do because why? We just do them. Sometimes we do things, we come to church because we think it's acceptable. We think it's the right thing to do because mom and dad, they came to church. Sometimes we take part in communion because we see everybody else taking part in communion. Sometimes we read our Bible. I had a district manager years ago who read his Bible every day, and he lived like a hellion. What's wrong with that picture? It happens. Motive. Why are you doing what you're doing? Do you want to serve God? Do you want to experience God? Do you want to witness for God? Do you want to serve and worship him in your strength of your being? Or are you looking for other reasons? Discern your desire. What do you want for your kids? What do you want for yourself? I'm here to tell you what I want for my future kids, and I may not ever have any kids, but what I want for them, I want them to be fierce. That's what I want. I want them to worship God. And what that equates to me getting them in church. It equated to me getting them in church. It equated to me bringing them to the Wednesday night program, and I get the fact that there are some things that we don't have. I understand that. But it afforded the sacrifice in my life when they weren't even my kids. Many times I would. It's desires. You see, our desires, they determine what we do, and they determine our why we do it. Want to float through life? This probably isn't your message that you wanted to hear. But what I want for you all, I want you to be the best. That's what I want for you. I want you to experience the vibrant joy that comes with following Christ. I want you to experience the goodness, the peace, the strength, the stability, the assurance, the essence of God in your life, his holy presence walking with you. I don't know. Doesn't that excite you? Doesn't it not? We're getting ready to approach the holy table of communion. You see, this is not just a memorial meal. It's not. You know, we do to observe. You see, we met the presence of Christ. And what that means is that God's presence is in you and in me. And when we partake together and we found elements of the bread and the cup, we are experiencing more of Jesus. But there's an element of his grace. Now, grace is something that he gives to us that it's unmerited favor. And his grace will be working in you. It's the sanctifying grace. And sanctification, friends, is the lifelong process of being made to be changed into his likeness, to be transfigured, to go through the process of metamorphosis, to be like that caterpillar and come out like a butterfly. You see, this is why we meet around the Lord's table. It's not just to do something. It's quite frankly, am I going to share what God has put on my heart in the not a time. I would do other things. It's not an essential part. John that you need to take part in communion minimum of 70 to 80 times a year. Talking 2 to 3 times a week. Jesus, the scriptures, they tell us do often. If we think this is just observing something even witnessed 2,000 years ago that took place, Jesus on the cross, we're missing the whole point, friends. Our desires are jacked up. Our motives are awry. This is more than the celebratory nature of his victory. This is experiencing the grace of God. It's you and me to repent of those things we've done. It's a time for you and me to celebrate the victory that God has done. It's a time to remember the sacrifice that Jesus has laid down. It's a time to remember the sacrifice that God is probably going to require of us. It's a time to check ourselves. It's a time to witness to our brothers and sisters, witness to one another. When we are saying we are a part of the body, are we not? We witness. That's the essence of communion. It's a beautiful thing. It's not just something to fill time. I just want to go over the last point here this morning. It's an interesting verse in verse 9. You see, communion can be such a holy time, such a sanctified time, a time that is set apart for God that we don't want to even move. And I have people that claim Christ that want to stay there. This interesting verse, right, verse 9 of chapter 9 of the Gospel of Mark, it says this, and as they were coming down the mountain, what's the rest? Think of what Peter said before. Peter, Jesus, let us set up three booths. It's great that we stay here. Life doesn't exist. It exists when you follow Jesus to the valley. Psalm 23, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow, you are with me. Right? See, if we're truly going to witness, we can't stay on the mountaintop. Selfish. Got to go to the valley. And as sanctified and holy as a time as this will be, understand, witnessing requires you and me to be part of the reality. Without those, that aged life. That means that we interact with people and the suffering they're going through. It means that we witness to them through our care, compassion, through our empathy. You have something that this world never will have. And that's the Spirit of God that has changed your old nature and given you His nature, the nature of God. And I hope and I pray we'll have the desire to experience more and more of His outpouring and His changing you to be conformed, metamorphosized to Christ's likeness. That's why we celebrate. It's what Jesus has done and what He is doing and what He will do in your life and mine. What a beautiful thing, amen? Amen? What a beautiful thing. Let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you, Heavenly Father, for this microphone that keeps going in and out. I don't know why. Jesus, we bless you, we praise you, we honor you. And Father, we thank you for Holy Communion. We thank you for the elements, the bread and the cup, and what they mean and what they represent and what they. We bless you, O Lord, for you are good and you are good forever. We honor you, O Lord. We pray that you would bless the bread, bless the cup, anoint them. Bless this time, O Jesus, that we might commune with you, that we might check our desires, our motives. We might yearn to be changed more into your likeness. That we would reflect your goodness to this world. We commit this time into your care. In the holy name of Jesus, we do pray. Amen. This morning, we will be partaking of communion at the rail. And so, as we come forward, we'll kneel if you're able, and you will be given a piece of bread, a juice cup, and then when you're here, we will partake together. And so let us all remember the night that Jesus prayed, he took the loaf of bread and he broke it and he blessed it. And he said, "This is my body. Take, eat, do this in remembrance of me." Then he also took the cup and he said, "This is the blood of the new covenant poured out for the sins of many. Take, drink, do this in remembrance of me." Won't you come and partake at this table? Our tradition here at Trinity in the communion Sunday is to take up a benevolent offering. And benevolent offering, Trinity Care, it goes to help those within our congregation who are in need, whether it be with food or utility bills or rent or what have you. And then we even minister to those in the community as well. And so at this time, if the ushers would please come, may we sacrificially as Jesus gave to us.
Let the weak say, "I am strong." Let the poor say, "I am rich." Let the blind say, "I can see." It's what the Lord has done in me. Let the weak say, "I am strong." Let the poor say, "I am rich." Let the blind say, "I can see." It's what the Lord has done in me. Dreams of the Savior's love for me. To the saving arms of God, I will sing salvation songs. Jesus Christ has set me free. Hosanna, Hosanna, to the Lamb that was slain. Let the blind say, "I can see." It's what the Lord has done in me. Worship. passion of and just slow to anger. Your name is great and your heart is kind. For all your goodness I'll keep on singing. 10,000 reasons for my heart to find. Worship His holy name. Sing like never before. Of my soul, I'll worship Your holy name. And on that day when my strength is failing, the end draws near and my time.
As we close this morning, may the God of all peace bless you and keep you, and may you truly experience the change in your nature. May you be like the monarch butterfly and not crawl through life, but may you fly above the circumstances and fly and soar over all the situations that come your way by the grace of God, by the power of the risen Christ. With His strength, may you be found to experience the true new nature and the experience of new life in the Lord Jesus Christ. In the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Spirit, may you and I go in peace. Amen.